I do want to mention our sponsors now. As I mentioned early in the program, Joshua's Crossing Ministries is our Facebook sponsor today. They're located right here in the Promise Center at 321 North Main. And they're not counseling right at the moment, but just continue to lift Les up as he's working through the loss of his partner, Donna, who went to be with the Lord probably about 2 months ago now, I think. And then Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue, another one of our sponsors, Apostle Casey Elliott, is the pastor over there, the apostle over there, that brings you a great message. They have services on Sunday morning at 9:30, church at 11, and then church again at 6. Then Tuesday evening they have a prayer meeting, and on Thursday evening they have Bible study. And one of our new sponsors, the Refuge Church, it's non-denominational. Pastor Tammy Bailey, we call her Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Pastor Dwight, she reminds me a lot of when Juanice used to come here. Yeah. I always used to say they can hear Juanice and Cheyenne without the microphone. Tammy's church is located at 18410 Highway 52 in Sayre. That actually is 3 miles west of Sayre. That's from the traffic light right downtown, and it's inside a barn. And they have an area divided off in there that's a nice little church room. Yeah. They have Sunday school at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, and Wednesday youth at 7. If you'd like to call Pastor Tammy for more information, her number is 729-0956. And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Love your ride. Today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters, we know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at bardiceandford.net.
We are back. This is the Hour of Power on the Rock Christian Music. Our guest today, Pastor Dwight Shepherd, bringing us a great message, as usual, about God laughs.
God laughs when evil men think that they have the last word and they try to work their agendas. And when the enemy tries to manipulate things, the Bible says God laughs. Mm-hmm. You say, where's it say that? I'm glad you asked. We'll go to Psalms 2 and we'll look at it for ourselves. Psalms 2, we were reading earlier there from 1 Peter 3:1. Peter wrote these, said, I wrote you two letters. This is the second one. I wrote them to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you thinking right. He said, I want to awaken you to a proper mindset. And he said, remember this. The Lord told us there were going to be scoffers in the last days. He told us that men were going to follow their own evil desires. He told us they were going to deliberately forget that the same word that spoke the world in existence spoke a flood and spoke a recovery from the flood. And he said, the Lord is patient. He said, you know, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. He goes, God's patient. And I didn't read this verse in Peter, but I want to just read it to you now while you're going to Psalm 2. That he's patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, what's God waiting? I don't understand why God's letting all this stuff up. He's waiting on people to repent. Mm-hmm. He might be waiting on you. I hope not. Hope he's not waiting on you. Hope you already did. Don't be like those painters that, you know, they were trying to paint a house. They painted one side of the house. Said, well, it looks like we're going to run out of paint. Let's thin it down. So they thinned it down. They painted the next side of the house. Said, ooh, looks like we're still going to run out of paint. So they thinned it down some more. They painted that side. Oh, man, I don't know if we got enough to finish or not. Said, let's go ahead and thin it one more time and paint it down. And they did. And then they backed up and looked, and they're like, wow, that looks horrible. What are we going to do? Oh, I know. Let's pray. Yeah, oh, should have prayed first. But so they prayed, and sure enough, they got an answer from heaven. You know what he told them? He said, repaint, you thinners, and thin no more. Repaint. You know, it's always easier to do it right the first time.
That's right.
And the consequences are usually better. Mm-hmm. Psalms 2, God's word says this. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. You can read in your NIV, you King James, whatever you got. It'll be similar. How dare, that's what Psalms 2:1 in the Passion Translation, we're going to read about 4 or 5 verses. How dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. Look how the power brokers of the world rise up and hold their summit as rulers scheme and confer together against Yahweh, that's God's Old Testament name, and his anointed king, who's that? Jesus. They rise up and scheme and confer together against God and against Jesus, saying, verse 3, let's come together and break away from the Creator once and for all. Let's cast off these controlling chains. You know what people who are godless think about God? They think that his ways are like controlling chains. But for those of us who know God, we know that the truth is Christ Jesus breaks off the chains of sin, which really control. God, Jesus didn't come to put you in bondage to religion. Jesus came to set you free from the power of sin. But there are people in the world who are just godless, and they choose to be godless. It's not that they don't know that there's a God. Almost every scientist who ever set out from an agnostic or an atheist perspective to try to disprove the existence of God wound up being convinced that creation could not have created itself. All these things, there's so much order. The discoverer of DNA in the 1950s, these scientists, a lot of these lead scientists, they're not godly people. They're generally agnostics and atheists. But the more they look into God's creation, the more they figure out there is a God. But even though they may see the hand of God in the things that they study, they may be like that guy I mentioned earlier, George Soros. Here's one of his latest quotes. He said, I don't believe there is a God, but if there is, I know who he is. I'm him. He literally said that. Mm. This is the guy who has this immense power in the world. You say, is he the Antichrist? I can tell you he is a Antichrist. He may not be the. I don't even for sure know there's going to be a the until some things happen. But there's certainly, Peter, the scriptures wrote about in the New Testament church in the early days, the church goes, they were not among us. They were Antichrist. They went out from us. They were not part of us, or they wouldn't have departed. And he goes, he literally said in the New Testament right there, he goes, they're Antichrist. What does that mean? Well, anti means against. What's it mean to be against Christ? Well, it's against Christ. Antichrist against Christ. Well, there may be a one man who's literally controlled of the devil who becomes the Antichrist, you know, the end time ruler, you know, during the tribulation, all that stuff. But I'm not, I don't even, to be honest with you, I don't even care about that. You want to know why? Because they ain't going to be here. And if you're a born again believer, you're not going to be here either. But I do care that there are many Antichrists, people who are opposed to Christ in the world, and some of them are powerful people, but at the same time, they're not God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't care what they try to pull. They're not God. George Soros may say he is God. He goes, if there's a God, I'm him. Well, you might say that all day long, but I'm going to tell you something. You're one heart. He's one heartbeat away from finding out the truth. And when you look at the guy, if you look at him, he may be a half a heartbeat away from it. He looks rough. He looks bad. Evil to do that to you.
That's right.
Psalms 2 says here, it says, the people, the nations conspire against God. I like the way the Passion says it. It says, look how the power brokers of the world rise up and hold their summit and ruler scheme and confer against God and against Jesus. And they say, let's come together and break away from the Creator. Once for all, let's cast off his controlling chains of God and his Christ. That's what they do. That's going on. But look at the next verse. If you're following me in your Bible, look at verse 4. What does your Bible say in verse 4? I don't care what translation you're reading. It says God laughs at their plans.
That's right.
It doesn't say God goes, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, no, these powerful, rich, influential, evil, wicked men and women, they're against me. Oh, no, I don't know what I'll do. God is never afraid of anyone or anything. God is God. He reminds us in the Word that he spoke the heavens into existence. He alone is the Creator. He alone is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God. You don't need to fear what man can do to you. God is for us. Amen.
Amen.
So, with that in mind, let's see what he says here a little bit further along. He says in verse 4, God enthroned, that's what my Bible says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. God enthroned laughs at them, and the one, he mocks their madness. In other words, they're mocking him, but he's not affected by their mockery. He's God. He is literally laughing at the plan they've got to try to do evil and harm and come against him and throw off him and throw off his Christ. Isn't it interesting that this is written, Psalms 2 is written in the Old Testament, but it's talking about God's anointed. It's talking about God's Christ. Yes, it has a double meaning. It's also talking about King David, the anointed king of Israel, but it's also talking about the coming Messiah. And these people are going to conspire to throw off God. That's what the agenda is really all about. And if you don't think that there are even political parties involved in the United States that have an agenda of throwing off God, you just need to wake up and see what's going on. They're trying with every fiber of their being to throw off God from this nation. But it's not happening because people, the populous people of America, we're not ready to throw off God. We love God. Mm-hmm. And there's still plenty enough of us Christians left here, for sure. And it's growing. That number's growing exponentially every day. You know why? Because God's pouring out his Spirit, and this is the time of harvest. There are more people being saved on the earth right now than at any point in the history of the church. You see all the bad news. Yeah, I see all of it too. But we also see a lot of good news. You can ask any pastor anywhere that they're preaching a gospel. And the church is stirred up. People are stirred up. People are hungry for things of God. God is pouring out a Spirit. People are coming to the Lord. They're having crusades. I'm going to a crusade in April with Mario Murillo up there, Mario Murillo at the Mabee Center in Tulsa. And they've only got 9,000 seats available. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
And his 10th crusades that have been going on, the last one they had out in California, they were expecting, their tent was, I don't remember the exact figures, but their new tent was 2.5 times bigger than the one they had before. And Mario said, I didn't know if we'd get that full or not. Well, they not only got it full, but they had to put 1,000 chairs outside.
Mm, praise God.
There were 2,500 people in 2 nights that came to the Lord. And miraculous healings. People following God. And I'm not talking about they had an emotional moment, whatever. They're getting plugged in. Churches are coming together. Mario Murillo went to that city in California, and I can't even remember, golly, what town, what it is. I said town. 65,000 people. That's not exactly a town by our standards here in Oklahoma. But listen, imagine this, Neva. A town, city, 65,000 people. Now, you can only imagine how many churches there are there, right? Because we're in towns, you know, our town. I live in a smaller town. We only have, you know, 4 churches or whatever, you know. Yeah, but you also only got about 2,000 people, and that's if you count the chickens and the farm dogs. But you imagine 65,000, a community of 65,000, how many churches there are? Here's the thing that I want to point out. When Mario Murillo had his planning meeting for pastors to come for this crusade, every pastor in that entire city of 65,000 participated in that pastor's planning meeting. All the churches participated except for 2. one of the pastors was doing a funeral, and another one of the pastors was out of the country. Every other pastor came, participated. Shocking, amazing. Those kind of things weren't happening in the past. It tells you that God has, by his Spirit, he's drawing, he's amping it up. He's amping up the end time harvest. Remember where we started today, that scripture that I read to you about discerning the times, knowing the season you're in? Don't sleep through the harvest. When you see the world looking rough and bad and you hear of war, this sounds familiar, wars, rumors of wars. Mm. You know what it tells you? It tells you it's harvest time. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 24, these are the beginning of birth pains. Birth pains, yeah. It's the beginning of what God is about to birth in the earth. It's not, he didn't say, oh, you better get scared. Jesus literally said, do not let your heart be troubled. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. In Matthew 24, he said, don't be alarmed. In John 14, 1, he said, do not be let your heart be troubled. So no matter what people are trying to do, good, bad, otherwise, if they're plotting evil, God just, that's not going to work. I got a plan in place to deal with that. I knew you were going to do that about a million years before you were born. God is eternal. Knows everything. I want to turn and finish up with Psalms 37. Psalm 37. This is a good word of encouragement. Right? So what do I do? What do I do in the meantime, Pastor? What do I do? Well, knowing that God's got everything, he's not controlling everything. I don't want you thinking God is controlling every decision of every human being. That's just not true. It's not scriptural. It's not accurate. God is not the one doing evil. But God is working all things in conformity to his plan. You can look at Ephesians 1:11 if you want that in writing. God's working out all things in conformity to the plans of his purpose. Ephesians 1:11 tells us that. Psalms 37. We're going to look at, time willing, we'll look at verse 1 through 9. Time permitting. Psalm 37. Let me get to my NIV Bible. Psalm 37. I hope and pray today that you're not being discouraged by me talking about these things are happening. I mean, and sometimes the best way to get rid of the elephant in the room is to talk about him. Mm. You know, don't pretend like everything's going great in the world, because it's not, but it is going perfectly in line with what God knew it was going to happen. He knew it was going to happen. It doesn't surprise God. Oh, they invaded Ukraine. Well, God goes, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Psalms 37, verse 1, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those that do wrong. Do not fret. For like grass, they'll soon wither. Like green plants, they'll soon die away. How many times have we seen someone come that was just troubling the world, troubling the world, troubling the world, and then they weren't? I'll mention a few names. Saddam Hussein. Is he still here troubling the world? No, he is not. Adolf Hitler, how about him? No, he's not troubling the world anymore either. See, troublers come and go, but God remains.
Amen.
And that's what I want you thinking about. No president of any country, this one or any other, has the ability to wreck this nation beyond God's ability to repair.
Amen.
No one has the ability to curse you beyond God's ability to bless you. Mm. No one can tear you down that God can't build you up. That's what I want you thinking about. Don't fret about the evil that's going on in the world today. Now, that doesn't mean you don't pay attention. You do. You better pay attention. And be prayerful. The Bible says, be sober and be vigilant. Thinking rightly and beware. Have your head on a swivel. And I want to say this. When the media says look right, I want you to look left. Because everything that they're doing a lot of times is nothing more than trying to distract you from what they really want to do. And they don't want you seeing it. But here's the good news. God sees it, even if we don't. Amen. So don't fret. The Bible says don't fret over it. They're like grass. They won't always be here. Their plans won't succeed, ultimately. What am I going to do? Verse 3. out. So here's your to-do list. Here's my to-do list. Instead of fretting, instead of worrying, here's what we're going to do. When we watch the news, and I'm not a fan of watching the secular news, but get news from somewhere. Don't bury your head in the sand. Get news from somewhere you can trust, from people that you know trust God. And then you do this. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Did you hear that little word? Do. Do good. It doesn't say just trust in the Lord and cover your head up. Be about doing good. Be a light. Be salt. The earth never needed salt and light more than it needs it right now that I'm aware of. Maybe in the days of Noah, but there wasn't any salt and light to be found. But God's called you and I to be salt and light. But we can't do it if we're running around fretting. If we're acting like the world's coming to an end. Or we're angry because gas prices are up and grocery prices are up. Don't be angry. Your anger's not going to help. Just trust God. They're taking money out of my mouth. They're taking bread out of my mouth. Well, God will put more bread in if you just trust him. Mm-hmm. Just trust him. And do good. Dwell in the land. Enjoy. So first thing, I'm going to trust God. What am I going to do next? Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. You know what that means? It means to be flexible. Oh, I better read this from the Passion Translation. Listen to this. Back to the verse 3. It goes, fix your heart on the promises of God. That's what trusting God is. Fix your heart on the promises of God and keep feasting on his faithfulness. I think I will. I like feasting. Verse 4, make God the utmost delight and the pleasure of your life. That's what the Passion Translation says. Delight yourself in him. Make God first. Put God first. If nothing else, all these challenges that we seem to be facing in our lives today, if nothing else, maybe, just maybe, we'll get pinched enough by it to wake up in life and put God first. You know? So the next thing I'm going to do, first thing, verse 3, trust the Lord. Second thing, I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. In other words, I'm going to put God first. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord and trust in him. And he'll do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Here's what the Passion says. I like it because it's simple. Give God the right to direct your life. Come on. Invite God. Give God the right to direct your life. And as you trust him along the way, you'll find that he pulled it off perfectly. Isn't that good? That's what we're supposed to be doing. God laughs at the plans of the wicked. He doesn't cry. He doesn't wring his hands and go, I don't know what I'm going to do. So we shouldn't worry either. Maybe we should just start with holy laughter. Not joyous laughter at what they're doing, at their agenda to murder babies or their agenda to push same-sex relationships and all the garbage they're trying to push. Don't laugh at it in the sense of you think it's funny, because it's not funny. It's evil. But you can be like God and laugh knowing that it ain't going to succeed. Amen. So commit our way to the Lord. And then one more thing. I'm going to two more. Right. Two more. Verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently before him. The Passion says, quiet your heart in his presence and keep hope alive. Be still. A lot of times what you need when you're feeling anxious, you know what you need? You don't need to take a pill. You just need to go be still.
Amen.
You see, I'm worried. I'm fretting. I go to bed at night. I can't even sleep. My mind's just roaring through all the stuff. Well, one thing you may need to do, if that's really the case in your life, is take a sabbatical away from the stuff. And go spend a whole day being quiet with the Lord and just worshiping him and enjoying his presence. Go out and go get away from everything. Go enjoy a beautiful day out and listen to some birds chirp and stuff, because we need that. Be still before the Lord and just let him work on it. Invite him to work on it through prayer, but let him work on it. Don't be telling him everything he needs to do. That was for me. Verse 8, refrain from anger. That's one of the things we've got to do. Verse 8, refrain from anger. Don't get mad. Don't get mad at Biden. Don't get mad at Kamala Harris. It's not going to do any good. The Bible doesn't say be mad at him. It says pray for him. And, you know, if you want to pray like David prayed, you could pray one of those psalm prayers. Says, Lord, let their days be few and another take their office. I mean, that is a prayer David prayed. It is scriptural. But I think we need to pray as the Holy Spirit leads us to pray. I want to tell you this. As far as I know, I haven't been told by the Lord to not pray for their salvation. Now, it's pretty obvious from the fruit on their tree they're not saved. And we need presidents, vice presidents, people, rulers. We want people who follow God. But I'm going to tell you this, even if they won't follow God, God's still in control. But pray for them. And don't be mad. Don't be mad at the government. Don't be mad at the world. And especially listen to me carefully, and I'm going to end with this. Don't ever let life get so stressful to you that you get mad at God. You say, what? People get mad at God? Who's dumb enough to do that? Me, you, and everybody else you know. We might not admit it, but there are times where we feel like, because I had this expectation and it didn't go the way I thought, if I'm not careful, I might hold this little tiny teeny tensy little bit of resentment against God because he's not doing it how I want it done. And we need to not do that. We need to make sure we don't do that. Know this. Whatever plan you've got, God's plan is better. Whatever plan they've got, God's plan is way better. And let's just turn it all over to God. And remember this. When evil people plot evil things, God sits in the heavens and mocks them and laughs at the futility of their attempts to overthrow him. He alone is God. Amen and amen.
You want to pray us out?
I do. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we do come before you, I pray for our listeners today. I pray for each one of us, God, that we would be as Jesus told us to be. Do not let our hearts be troubled. We purpose our minds on you. And I pray, Father, this morning, if there's someone listening to me and say, I don't really feel close to God. I don't know. I don't know if I could receive God's peace. I don't know. Well, cry out to Jesus. Maybe you never made him Lord of your life, truly Lord of your life. And today, that your heart's drawing you, we'll just simply pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you to lord over me, over my life, over my world. Forgive me of my sins. Take me into the family of God. Fill me with your spirit. Help me, Lord, to renew my mind. I let go of the past, and I embrace my future with you as Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. If you've missed any part of this great message today, I would recommend that you go back and watch it on Facebook. It'll be posted there just as soon as the program is over. If you have someone that doesn't have Facebook, send them to our website, therockchristianmusic.com. Click on the Hour of Power and then click on Wednesday. We appreciate you tuning in today. This was a great lesson. I'm always blessed by what you bring to us, Pastor Dwight. From me, Neva, from Monica, from Pastor Dwight, have a blessed day, and we will see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.